Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day live, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, a couple of shout-outs. I have shout-outs for Ruthie. Ruthie, that's right, there are two Ruthies there. Mona and Craig and Sandy, thank you all so much for being loyal listeners to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain over there at the townhouse here in Ventura, California. Now to today's theme. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is innovation. Each of my guests will discuss innovation in computers and in life. My first guest is the co-founder of the largest in-application analytics and advertising platform. She'll discuss innovation in the growing field of apps for mobile devices by Apple. My second guests are unique. They're young innovators who created software to recognize emotion in human speech. For their efforts, they were awarded the Siemens Foundation Prize for Math, Science, and Technology. The high school students will join us, along with the CEO of Siemens Foundation, to discuss the importance of math, science, and technology for the United States to remain competitive in the business world. My third guest is the futurist who popularized the concept of paradigm shifts for the corporate world in his book titled Future Edge, which was published way back in 1992. We're going to discuss one of his latest theories, Innovation at the Verge. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Raina June Sobany is the co-founder of MediaLets, the largest in-application analytics and advertising formats. Raina has been deeply involved in the successful design and implementation of comprehensive application marketing campaigns for products across the mobile industry, and was among the first to promote app marketing as a discrete practice. She's coached mobile application developers at every level. Raina is a frequent speaker at mobile and technology conferences, educating developers about doing business in the iPhone and iPad ecosystems. And interestingly enough, Raina was also a character and the focus of an episode of CSI New York. Welcome to the show, Raina. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, especially since you were a focus on CSI New York. So that makes it really fun. But let's start at the beginning. First of all, you know, we're business people here in Ventura County. Most of the people listening to the sound of my voice are small and mid-sized businesses. We don't have giant corporations here for the most part. Now, business people have to be worried about application marketing too. So in what ways are Apple products revolutionizing personal and business communications as you see it?
Well, actually, I think that's a really amazing group that you have here, because if you think about it, it's actually the big corporations that are struggling to catch up with the independent developers on the app space. So I think that's something that you're seeing, the proliferation of applications and just kind of the ease at which people can deploy apps on the Apple platform enable this entire new generation of entrepreneurs to look at this and have a fair advantage. I think that's amazing.
Well, that's good. I like the fact that it levels the playing field. Now, you're on record as saying that mobility is the key to innovation in the future. Why do you believe that?
Well, I absolutely believe that's the case, because if you think about it, the iPhone and any other, you know, of these new generation of devices, they're just computers in our pocket, you know, and you're speaking about a paradigm shift with the Joel later on, I think that's something that is just, that is what this is. This is the first time that we're having full-fledged computing power at the touch of our fingertips and with a new modality, with the touch input being the primary means. I think that's something that, you know, we're really understanding the shift that's happening here. And, you know, I'm thrilled that people are embracing it so much.
Well, Rana, you've written a marvelous book. It's titled Mobilize: Strategies for Success from the Front Lines of the App Revolution. And your book is really a handbook or a textbook to walk people through application development for handheld devices, Apple iPad, Apple iPhone specifically. So briefly, take us through the process of creating and marketing a mobile app. And let's just say, for example, that I wanted to create an app for radio listeners to hear my program. How and where do I begin?
That is an excellent question. I'd say the number one piece of advice I have for any developer, small, large, big corporation, mom and pop shop, you have to build a great application that you're willing to put your name on. I think right now what we're seeing is a lot of people are kind of having mobile apps on their checklist as just something that you need to have, and they're not really putting the time or effort into it to make sure that it's actually a great experience. Because the thing is, you know, related to this, and the thing about the iPhone specifically, is that it's a computer that's always with you. So it's not just the opportunity to have a one-time engagement with someone. If you build an application that's great and worth coming back to, and people prefer listening, you know, to your show on that app rather than streaming, you know, over the internet or something, you've created the opportunity to have a one-to-one interaction with somebody. And I think that's something that we haven't seen in technology yet. When you watch TV, you don't know who you're going to be reaching at that time. If you put up a billboard, you don't know who is going to be passing by it. But with digital, you have a one-to-one mapping between a user and that device.
All right. So, now we're talking to Raina June Sobeny, everybody, author of the book Mobilize. And Raina, I want to stop you right there because you've hit on something that's very important, that the computer is with us at all times. And that's the difference between people listening to my show streaming over the internet or even watching satellite or cabled or regular terrestrial TV, is that now the device is with you. You can take it on the run. And that's why I would want to maybe develop an application, is because now people can have it with them 24/7. They're not desk bound. They're not bound to their computer. They're not bound to their television set. They can take it with them when and where they want it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so getting back to the steps that I take. So I want to build a great app that I have my name on, and let's say that I want to do that. How am I going to get people's mind share? Because let's face it, the App Store from Apple has exploded with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of applications. How am I going to get mind share so people are going to gravitate to my app?
I think one of the important factors at getting people's attention is having the planning in place. And a lot of times I'll see people rush to build the app, and then marketing is just an afterthought. But if you're really building in how people are going to discover the app and kind of the way that you want people to experience it into the build process. So, for instance, I know that, you know, this is a radio app. So maybe what I do is I make sure that the experience of using the application is very intuitive and very simple, and then I make all of my marketing messages about that. You know, this is the easiest way to experience this type of content on the go, as you said. And really just from day one, think about what it's going to be like for a consumer to think about your app in the App Store. People can sometimes get a little bit selfish and they only think about it in terms of, you know, what they want to do. But really, I think that the user experience, you know, for the end user is just paramount.
Well, I agree, and that's been Apple's focus from the beginning, is the end user experience, which makes it fun. In your book, Mobilize, I found a term or a phrase in there that I found amusing, and I'd like you to expand on that, because we are talking about marketing at this point, about the app. You say that marketing is your frenemy. Explain what you mean about that, because that's a really funny double-edged comment.
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, frenemy, obviously, in the sense of, you know, friend and enemy at the same time. But, you know, it's very interesting because when you think about marketing, you think, oh, yeah, of course we should do that. But once you start getting involved in it, you realize there is so much nuance involved. There's so much data. There's so many different, you know, approaches that you can take, so many outlets. And I think it can become a little bit intimidating for people. So I say, you know, you really want to make sure that you are incorporating those marketing elements and be innovative, but not too innovative, because you don't want to kind of go down that rabbit hole of just so much data and marketing and jargon that you're getting lost in terms of what your message actually is.
All right. We're talking to Rana Sobhany, everybody. Her book, Mobilize Strategies for Success from the Frontlines of the App Revolution. And Rana, something implicit in all of this, we haven't discussed it. As you're building this application, you've got the customer in mind. You want to put your name on it, that have that kind of pride behind it. And you build the marketing into the development phase. But the big thing here is Apple must approve all apps. So talk to us a little bit about the Apple approval process. What does that mean, both good and bad, for app developers?
Excellent point. Now, you know, I think this is one of those things where in the beginning of the App Store ecosystem, if you will, it was a little bit nebulous in terms of what Apple would approve versus what they wouldn't. But Apple released a figure that said that 97% of applications are actually approved within the first 7 days that they're submitted.
Wow.
So that's the case. Yeah, it's actually, I think it's just kind of getting a bad rap at this point. So subsequently, Apple has released not only that figure, but also the guidelines for what constitutes a rejection from the App Store. And so nowadays, unless you're doing something very nefarious, you're probably going to be approved very quickly. So I think this is just one of those legacy components from the early days of the App Store.
It's a bad case of PR. And PR is one of the other things that you have to have when you're building an application to get the buzz around it. So give us some simple ideas for PR around web apps that, not web apps, but mobile apps that you develop for Apple, iPad, iPhone.
I'd say the first thing is that it's actually a lot simpler than you might imagine. And, you know, sometimes just a simple post on one of the numerous review sites for iPhone apps is enough to get you onto the charts, whereas a New York Times feature or a mention on the Today Show might not really do much for your brand. So I think that's something where people, you know, you can't really overthink it. You have to just work small steps and aim high and make sure that, you know, you've done everything you can in terms of getting that app to be, you know, ready for the camera, and then you just kind of hope that you've created something in the market that people want to use.
All right, Rana. Now, last but certainly not least is you put your app out there, you've developed the best app possible, you've got some buzz going around it, but how do you measure and evaluate the performance of your app in the marketplace?
In the first, you know, maybe 30 days of the App Store, developers weren't really interested in metrics because they thought that Apple was going to give them a lot of data around that. But what actually ended up happening is that Apple would simply give the download counts, but nothing beyond that. So there are a lot of companies out there that will give you free analytics toolkits, kind of like what Google does with Google Analytics for websites, that just let you embed a single line of code into your app, and now you've got full-fledged metrics. So, you know, it's something where the barrier isn't there, but you have to know that that's what you're looking for so that you do install it before you submit to the App Store.
Okay. Now, that makes great sense. We're talking to Rana June Sobhany, everybody, author of the book Mobilize, Strategies for Success from the Frontlines of the App Revolution. And now I'm going to get just a slightly bit technical here, if I can, Rana, and talk about some of the battles that have been going on in app development. And these are going on probably not known to a lot of the general consumer out there, but there's a big battle that has been going on between Adobe's Flash versus Apple and what will and will not play on the iPhone and on the iPad. So tell us, what's the future of Flash in mobile app developing? Give us a little bit of background about that controversy that's been brewing.
Well, I think we all know that Steve Jobs is a visionary. There's no disputing that. But I think, you know, what's interesting here is Flash is a technology that was developed by Adobe, as you mentioned, and because of its speed of development, it became very ubiquitous on the web as a platform for rich media content. But unfortunately, it's an antiquated technology, really, and there's a lot of best practices that have emerged in the past 18 months that make a lot of what happens in the Flash development environment a little bit obsolete. So I think, you know, once Emperor Steve, if you will, declares that something is no longer, you know, what he wants to use, it's pretty much a kiss of death. So I think, you know, you definitely, what you're seeing here is that people don't want to have to go through the pain of rebuilding sites that work perfectly fine on the web for the mobile devices. But really, at the end of the day, I think it's important for innovation's sake to be sure that, you know, the technology that's being used and is seen as the best practice is actually the best of breed solution out there. And if HTML5 is better than Flash for consumers at the end of the day, then I think it's, you know, developers have to kind of bite the bullet and just accept that.
All right. One follow-on question, Rana, for that. Will Flash survive? You mentioned HTML5 is just around the corner. In some cases, I think it's actually being implemented as well. Will that kill off Flash once and for all? And is that the golden goose?
You know, we have really, really a high level of fragmentation right now across so many different mobile platforms, so many different, you know, application development environments. I think the standardization of rich media deployment is going to be very important. So if that means that, you know, every single mobile device can handle HTML5, even if Flash exists, it will just become easier at the end of the day to use that. I don't think Flash has a future.
All right, there you heard it first here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're talking to Rana June Sobany, everybody, about her book, Mobilize. And Rana, in one of your earlier answers, you mentioned Emperor Steve. Of course, you were referring to Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple, who's just announced a medical departure from Apple for an undisclosed amount of time. So from your perspective as a marketeer, as an app developer, what does this mean? What is it going to mean in the public's perception that Apple's going to continue to innovate with the iPhone and the iPad?
Well, it's really sad. And to be honest, I've never felt more upset about news about somebody that I've never met than when I heard that he was going on leave. Really, I felt gutted. And I think the reason for that is, I think we all saw what happened to Apple when Apple first came around, and then Steve Jobs left the company, and when he came back, the innovations that have happened ever since that point. So I think it's a little scary for the future of technology if someone like Steve Jobs isn't around. But by the same token, he's not Superman, and he needs the time to be with his family and recuperate, and he's had some health problems. So I think about it as, I don't know if he's gone for good, but I also do believe that he plans things out 2 to 3 years in advance. So I don't think that the Steve Jobs touch is going away anytime soon. But, he is a smart man who I'm sure has put the best and brightest people around him to support the company in the case that he's not there. And, I'll have to just wait it out. But I really hope that he's able to fight and come back and that we have more Steve Jobs.
Well, I would agree with you, Rana, and to your point about good people around him, he's got Tim Cook, who is the CEO there. He was also the CEO at Intuit, Phil Schiller and Jonathan Ivey. That's as good a team in senior management as you can get. So I have to believe and be optimistic about it as well for Steve Jobs. Now, Rana, I can't believe how quickly the time goes and how fast it flies by. But if people like what you're saying and want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Actually, I have a pretty short, fabulous domain name that I just got. It's Rana, R-A-N-A, .co, and you can get all the information about my book and speaking engagements, and I've been on tour for the past 6 months speaking about this subject, so it's very close to my heart.
Well, and you have been on tour. You've been difficult to pin down, but I'm delighted that you're here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. It has been a true delight, Rana. Thank you so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.